Guys, tonight to introduce the subject of video games and masculinity. And I'll just tell you, that clip, we actually had two clips that talked about World of Warcraft accounts getting hacked. So we had to choose, and we went with the one that was more comical, but the other one I find hilarious because it was the story of this teenager who got his account hacked, and then the video ends with him going, "It ruined my life. It destroyed my life." Which I think is hilarious because I'm a little bit sadistic. But they were both funny. We went with the one that was more comical. Hey, let me tell you a little bit just about me. I've got a picture of my family up here in case I know a lot of you guys, but some of you I haven't met. My wife Julie and I have been married 15 years next month, and we have 5 children. And yes, we know what causes that, except for our last one, which apparently even surgery can't stop. So, but we can talk about that afterwards, all right? Our newest addition, Brielle, she will be 5 weeks old tomorrow night. So we are excited, very blessed from the Lord. But we have a lot to talk about tonight, okay, in the subject of video games. And so I'm just going to jump right in. And I want to give you a little bit of background just as to why I'm speaking. My background is actually in information technology, and so when I was in seminary out in Dallas, Texas, I spent about 2 or 3 years getting some certifications and worked in the area of network administration, systems administration. So kind of had IT as an interest, and then worked in that field for several years. And so I tell you that to say that technology has always had an inroad into our family. We've always had computers, we've always had laptops, we've always had high-speed internet access as soon as they invented it. We had dial-up internet access before that. We've always had iPods, iPads, video games, you name it. It's been in our house. And so my family has kind of enjoyed the blessing of technology, and then we've also suffered from kind of the curse of technology when that gets abused and misused in all sorts of ways. And so it's something I'm passionate about, something I'm interested in about. So I'm excited to talk to you guys about it tonight, and especially in the area of video games. So I have a slide I want to show to you that just has some sales numbers. So how many of you guys have a video game console in your home? Raise your hand. I do. All right, almost everybody. There's a few of you still living in the dark ages, but I just want you to know my respect just went up for you tenfold. All right, it's amazing. Sales of these things, all right, Microsoft makes the Xbox 360. They've sold 70 million. Sony makes a PlayStation 3, they've sold 65 million. Nintendo makes the Wii, they've sold about 100 million of those. All right, now you add all that together, you start getting close to the population of the United States of America. That's just the latest generation stuff, all right? We're not going back very far. That's just like kind of the past 5 to 7 years of gaming consoles. But it's a huge industry, okay? I got another slide for you that has some more stats. Well, before I get into all that, let me just tell you a story. Last November, I was watching Regis and Kelly. All right, you can judge me later. I'm a fan of Regis. I miss him. Okay, Michael Strahan doesn't cut it for me. But I was watching Regis and Kelly, and they had this piece on the show where Regis was talking about the most popular Christmas gifts. Popular gifts for the holiday season. And he said, and it was clear that he didn't know what he was talking about, right? And so he said, this Modern Warfare 3 game coming out, he starts talking about it, and he says, sales are expected to reach $340 million. And I thought, that's a lot of money. Because if you have a movie that brings in $100 million on opening weekend, then it's probably top 5 at the box office, and everybody in America knows about it. And so he said, sales are expected to reach $340 million. And then he paused and he said, in the first 24 hours, which I thought was fascinating. He was actually wrong. If you bring the slide back up, it sold $400 million in the first 24 hours. And in just over 2 weeks, grossed $1 billion. One game, right? So it's popular. It's popular. I was doing some research when I was thinking about this conference, and so I went to the Entertainment Software Association of America. They have a website where they have some stats. They said last year consumers spent almost $25 billion, that's a B, billion dollars on video game hardware, software accessories last year. All right? Anybody know the age of the average gamer? Anybody want to guess? 25, 12, what else? 28, 33, that's the closest. It's 37 years old. That is the age of the average gamer, okay? And it's male, all right? It's not 37-year-old women. It's 37-year-old men. It's my generation, all right? It's my generation, which I find fascinating. And I'll just tell you, this past year, I sat in a counseling meeting in an office here with a couple whose wife had already packed up her bags and left, and she took their two children with her. And we sat there for an hour in a meeting because her husband, who worked full-time, had a 40-hour-a-week job, played World of Warcraft for 40 to 45 hours a week. And so he would come home about 5:30, he'd scarf down dinner real fast, and by 6 o'clock, he was logged in on the computer, would play till about 2 o'clock in the morning every day, and then he'd play all day on Saturday and then Sunday afternoons. Okay, not for a week, for a year. All right, so she's gone. She's done. She's out. And so we're sitting there trying to help them think through all that stuff, but it's over. It's done. Marriage is over. And so I'll tell you that, and I'll say that is not unique. Because I went on YouTube yesterday searching for World of Warcraft clips, and I found about 12 stories just like that, like Tyra Banks show, Oprah, whatever, all of them. So I tell you all that to say this. It is a huge, huge problem in our culture. It is not something that your 12-year-old or your 10-year-old is just playing, okay? It's actually become the most popular form of entertainment in America. I mean, that's why Blizzard, who came out with World of Warcraft, they charged $15 a month to play, and they had 12 million monthly subscribers at their peak. All right, 10-year-olds aren't paying $15 a month to play that. So it's a huge industry, huge industry. And so what I want to do tonight is I want to ask and answer three questions, okay? Number one, what is so appealing about that? Why is it so addictive? Why is it so appealing? And then I want to ask, what are the dangers? What's wrong with it? And number three, what do we need to do about it? And so to answer the first question, I want you to turn to the book of Genesis. You got your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 2. Because I think when we look at creation, it's going to give us some insight as to why that is so appealing, especially to men and to our young boys. So Genesis chapter 2, I'm just going to read some verses. We're going to kind of go through it real quick because I got a lot to say and I don't have a lot of time. But I'll read through it, and then I'm just going to give you some thoughts about it. Genesis 2, verse 5 says, "When no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. A mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. The Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed." All right, here's what I want you to see from that, is that God created the world and kind of set everything up, right? But it wasn't producing anything. Even though water was coming up, it says water was coming up from the ground and watering all the vegetation, it wasn't producing anything. And why wasn't it producing anything? Because there was no man found to work the ground, okay? So here's what I want you to understand is God created the earth, and the earth had a need, okay? The earth had a need. It was not producing. And so God created man from the earth to meet that need, okay? You see that? And then skip down to verse 15. "Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it, you'll surely die.'" And so God creates the man from the ground, plants the garden, puts the man in the garden to work it and keep it, right? Gives him the instructions. Now, this is before woman was ever on the scene. She's not even around yet. She has not even been created yet. The earth had a need. God creates the man, puts him there to meet the need. He's in the garden working, toiling already. All right? Look at verse 20. "God had brought all the animals before the man to see what he would call them. Verse 20, the man gave names to all livestock, to the birds of the heavens, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not a helper found for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs, closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." All right, do you see the pattern here? Earth has a need. God creates man from the earth to meet that need. Then who has a need? Man has a need, right? So he creates woman from the man to meet that need. And here's what I want you to see. Okay, both are created in the image of God. That's Genesis 1:27, right? God created them male and female in his image. They are both in the image of God. They are both equal, but they correspond differently. They were created differently. Man created from the ground, woman created from the man. Man corresponds to the earth to meet that need. Woman corresponded to the man to meet that need. Okay? I want you to see that pattern. If you don't think that's true, then look in Genesis chapter 3. After the fall, after they disobey God's instruction, God comes, he's walking in the garden, and he's pronouncing the curse. In chapter 3, verse 16, to the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you will bring forth children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you've listened to the voice of your wife, you've eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it'll bring forth for you. You shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." So you see how they're cursed? They're cursed in relationship to how they were created. So woman is cursed in her relationship to the man. Man is cursed in his relationship to the ground. And so it's this idea we call correspondence, right? And now you're looking at me and you're thinking, okay, well, what the heck does any of that have to do with video games? I'll tell you, it has everything to do with it, right? Because the way a man is created in the image of God, he is wired up to work. He is wired up to accomplish. He is wired up to cultivate, to produce, to expend energy, to create something. Okay, and if you've been around Grace any length of time, there's three words that we use to describe biblical masculinity, right? A man, his core capacities, that's what we call it. Pursue, protect, provide, right? Those are three core capacities of a man. And so there are countless ways that those can be corrupted. I mean, you just look around. There's a million ways those core capacities can get corrupted. And so if a man is wired up to pursue, largely under that category of pursuit falls sex. I mean, he has sexual energy. He has a drive that a female does not have. And he is wired up to be a chaser, to pursue, to foster healthy intimacy, right? And what's a corruption of that? You think of one? Pornography, right? Obviously, right? And so pornography will never meet that need in a man, but he feels like it meets that need because it's a false intimacy, right? It's not true intimacy. It's a false form of intimacy. So that's why guys get so enraptured by it and they cannot break free from it because they feel like it's meeting a need in their soul because they were created in God's image, and part of what it means for them to be created in God's image is that they pursue, protect, provide. And so what I would tell you is video games work exactly the same way. Exactly the same way as pornography. Now, I'm not saying that they are the same as pornography. Pornography has nothing redemptive about it. I mean, it is immoral, it is evil, it's destructive. Video games become a substitute for how a man is wired up to work and accomplish. Okay? That's why it's the 37-year-old male that's addicted to them, why he cannot break free from that. Because he is wired up that way, all right? So here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about what's wrong with it. What's dangerous about video games? Let me give you three things, okay? First, they undermine hard work. How do they do that? They give disproportionate reward, okay? And what I mean by that, let me just use an example of my younger son. So he, you know, we have an Xbox. He plays Lego Star Wars, right? I don't know if you guys have ever seen that game. It's actually a really creative game. It's really fun. But he will go, and he's five, right? So he is terrible at it. I mean, he's terrible. And so he'll spend 10 minutes and he'll play a level, and there's like a pit that he's got to jump over or something, and he falls in the pit every time, you know? And eventually, the video game gets frustrated at him, right? It kind of realizes, okay, he ain't never going to jump over this pit, so I'm just going to start him on the other side of the pit, you know? I mean, the video game has less patience than my son has. And so anyway, he spends 10 minutes, you know, twiddling his thumbs, playing this level. And at the end, even though he's probably the worst player in the world, what happens when he finally beats the level? I mean, have you seen it? It gives him like hundreds of thousands of points, like 200,000 points. I mean, I'm looking at the screen. I'm like, how many zeros is that? Is that millions, billions? I mean, he has no concept of how big that is. You know, it gives him all these points. You know, it's counting up like studs. And if he finds any ship pieces, it's like stacking on, you know. Bells are going off, fireworks. You know, you unlock this character. Now you open up this level. Now you unlock free play. I mean, it's basically saying, you're awesome. That's what it's saying. That's what it's teaching him. And so I look at that and I thought, why don't they count in pennies? You know, you got 2 pennies. I mean, no game does that, right? It's just way, it's disproportionate. It is way too much reward for the energy that he has expended to accomplish it. Okay? Now, you got to think about, what does that do to a 5-year-old's brain? I mean, how is that training him? And so it just kind of destroys that ability for him to work hard, because he does not, he expects to receive way too much reward for the energy that he's put into something. So that's a huge problem with them, okay? Second thing, they undermine patience. And how I think they do that is there is always a way to circumvent every level. Right? Everything I've looked at, I mean, when my boys are playing, if something is frustrating or difficult for them, what do? They go into settings and they turn down the difficulty and make it easy, right? So they can just kind of do what they want. And if it doesn't have a difficulty setting, then they get a cheat code, you know, so they enter God mode or invincibility mode or whatever, so they can't be hurt. And let's just get past that difficult part. And if there's no difficulty setting and if there's no cheat code, there's always YouTube videos, right? So let's just go watch a video on how to beat that level. Let's see how to get 3 stars on Angry Birds. Don't pretend like you don't know what I'm talking about. All right? There's just ways to circumvent it all. And so when they run into something that's frustrating and difficult and requires perseverance and patience, then they just short-circuit it. They bypass it. They find a way around it. That's how it's training them. Third thing I think is wrong with it. It undermines creativity. You heard the phrase, necessity is the mother of invention? What does that mean? It means when there's a lack of resources, people get creative, right? And so video games give the illusion of choice, but it's really a construct designed by somebody. There's invisible boundaries. So when my kids play it, they feel like they have freedom. They feel like they're making choices. They're really not making choices. They're inside of a box. And inside of that box, I have never seen a game where you get put into a position where you don't have what you need to complete the level. I've never seen it. There's every resource you need to accomplish the goal is always there. It's always available, right? Well, here's the problem. The real world does not work that way. And so when they start to work and do things that are difficult, then their mind is kind of thinking, well, where's all the stuff I need? You know, so it short circuits creativity and undermines that. All right, so that's those 3 things, and I'm sure there's probably more. Those are 3 things that I know that are wrong with them, okay? And that it kind of trains your kids to think that way. All right, last question. What do we do about all that? How do we engage? How do we move forward? Let me just give you a few things, okay? And one, this was big for me. We have to stop being ignorant of how much time and energy our children channel into video games. You got to find out what they're playing, how often they're playing it, how many hours a day or a week they're putting into it. You got to peel the blinders off, and you got to figure out how much are they really channeling all of their energy into a game. We got to figure that out, because if we can't figure that out, then we can't really set boundaries. We can't parent. We can't discipline around it, right? So get in there. I mean, start taking notes. That's what my wife and I have been doing this week. How many times a week do they ask to play? You know, you need to know that. How many hours a week are they spending on it? How long, when they go to their friend's house, how many hours are they playing at their friend's house? When we get in the car and we drive to the grocery store, are they pulling out their iPod? Are they playing a game on the way to the store? You need to know all of that. So dig in and figure all of that out. Second thing, you've got to set boundaries. You have to discipline around this issue. And when I say discipline, I mean train. Okay? You have to engage them on that level. You have to know enough to know how much they're involved in it, and you got to set boundaries for it. Okay? And so a question to ask yourself is, how much time should my child be allowed to dive into a fantasy world? How much time should my child be allowed to feel like they're accomplishing something when they're really not accomplishing anything? They feel like they're making all these achievements. You know, they'll come up to you, "Dad, guess what I did? I beat this level." You know, and it validates something in them, especially in young boys, all right? And so you got to engage them on that. You got to set boundaries for that. You got to ask yourself how much of that is healthy, all right? And so how do you know? How do you know what the boundaries are? Let me give you some thoughts, okay? And you can jot these down. We can make them available to you after the conference. But I would say if your kid plays on a daily basis, they're unhealthy. It's unhealthy. If they play every single day, they're not in a good spot. If they spend more than 4 hours a week playing, it's not healthy. All right? That's just my number, but that's real. I mean, as my wife and I talk and as we kind of figure out and observe them and look at what it does to their behavior, I'd say if they play more than 4 hours a week, then it's not good. All right? That's 10% of a grown man's work week. If they spend 10% of a grown man's work week playing video games, that is enough. That's enough. If they play for hours at a time, I'd say that's not in a good spot. We've noticed with my boys, if they play games for more than an hour, it takes them an hour for their brains to kind of, you know, detox and re-engage the real world. I mean, this past weekend, it was Saturday morning, right? And we have a new baby, so we are tired. And so on Saturday mornings, I mean, it's an escape for me for my kids to play video games, okay? So Saturday morning, they're playing games, and we wake up, cook breakfast, and I'm like, all right, we got to go to the store. And I told my 11-year-old 3 times to get his shoes on, and his brain literally, he could not hear me because he had just turned off a video game. I mean, it just does something to your brain. And so I would say if they're playing for hours on end, it's not good. They're not in a good spot. If they don't have to ask you for permission to play, I don't think that's healthy, especially with young kids. If they have ever forgotten to eat a meal, all right? If they forget to eat breakfast, like if you walk into the room at 10 o'clock in the morning and you're like, "What'd you eat for breakfast?" And they're like, I don't remember. Okay? We're not in a good spot. Okay? If your kid has ever missed a meal for playing, then it's too important to them. If there are responsibilities that they have not handled in your house, then they do not need to be playing, okay? Like if they're going to go fake work and they haven't done real work, all right, that's a problem in our house, all right? That does not fly. And so if there's dishes in the sink, if there's laundry that needs to be folded, if there's a room that needs to be picked up, if they have abdicated that responsibility and they are on a video game, you're not in a good spot, all right? They got to do real work before they do fake work. If your kid gets angry when you tell them to turn it off, it's unhealthy. If they get frustrated when you impose a restriction, you're not in a good place. It's a problem, okay? If you find that they do not want to work hard, like if they get discouraged easy about a task, if they get lazy, then it's probably already corrupted the way they think about work, right? So I'll give you an example. My 5-year-old, I mean, he wanted to go out and rake leaves for a long time, right, when they started falling, and he wants to make a big pile and jump in it. So he goes and gets the rake out, and he's out in the yard doing stuff. And so Saturday, you know, after we cook breakfast, I'm like, "Hey, man, let's go out and rake leaves, make a big leaf pile." You know, he's like, "Oh, I don't want to." "Come on, you said you wanted to. You want to make a leaf pile. You want to jump in it." "No, it's too hard." You know, that's what he says. So we go out, and I'll hand him the rake, start raking. "Oh, I don't know how to do it." You know? I'm like, what is wrong with you? I mean, you were out there like chasing the cat, riding your bike. You can handle a rake, right? Well, what's happened to him? I mean, he's played video games for an hour on Saturday morning. It's corrupted the way he thinks about work. What reward is there in raking leaves? I mean, what is a leaf pile compared to getting 200,000 Lego studs? You know? And so I tell you, if you find that they are lazy and frustrated when you ask them to do a task, then you got a big problem, all right? If they cannot perform linear tasks, if they cannot read and sit and listen to a story without some sort of interactive stimulation, then you got an issue, all right? If they need sort of interactive stimulation in order to think and focus, if they can't concentrate, then it's a problem. All right, so those are a few things I'll tell you, some ways to evaluate whether it's healthy or unhealthy in your house, okay? And when you begin to wade into this and investigate and try to find out how many hours a week they're spending on it, I guarantee you it is more than you think. I guarantee. If you think they're spending 4 hours a week on it, they're spending 8, okay? And that's what we've been doing all week. I've been living this, right? Trying to figure out where are the boundaries, how do we structure all this? Okay, so here's the last thing I'll tell you. Just let me exhort you a little bit. That all of this responsibility, this is on us. It's on you, it's on me. As parents, we have to train our kids. Okay, and nobody else is going to do that for us. And Jesus is going to hold us accountable for that. And if you are not actively engaging this, if you're not spending time or energy to figure that out, to set boundaries, to help them think through all that, then here's what you're doing. You're training a 40-year-old male who's not married, who's going to be living in your basement, who's going to be enraptured by pornography, spending all of his income on video games, wasting his life. That's what you're creating. That's what you're making if you do not engage it, okay? And so I would just tell you, you've got to wade into it. And you may feel disconnected, or you may be in it yourself, all right, but either way, we have got to be brave enough and be courageous enough to kind of wade in, to figure all that out, help them think about all that, and train them in godly ways, all right?